This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
I'm excited about what we're going to be hearing from the Word of God today. I'm excited because this message reveals something in the heart of God that I need to hear, and I know you do as well. My natural default is to be, you know, talk about a sinner saved by grace. My default mentality is a sinner saved by grace. Whereas I think God wants us to have the mentality of a sinner saved by grace. And so this message has challenged my mentality and hopefully will speak to you as well. Can you turn to Malachi chapter 3? Malachi chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 17. Are you there? Great. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. And I'll just leave it there. They shall be mine on the day that I make them my jewels. So who is God referring to in this scripture? This is one of the last things God has to say to his people until there's 400 years of silence until the coming of Christ. So who's he talking about here? Well, we find that out in the previous verse. Let's have a look at verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord and spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate or esteem his name. So it's talking about God's people. It's talking about people that have an awe of him, who fear him and revere him, and to people that have a deep love for him. You don't think upon someone's name unless you have a deep love for them. Those that have had some romances in your life, you know, you think about that name often. And so this is who God is talking about when he says, they shall be mine on the day that I make them my jewels. So this, have a look at this picture, isn't it beautiful? Look at those jewels. This is lots of this is from a sermon that I discovered a while ago from A.W. Pink, who died over half a century ago. Just the richness and depth of what he brings out here is just brilliant. So I hope you can glean some things today. Isn't it amazing here that God says that he has jewels? Why would God, self-sufficient creator of the whole universe, needs something like jewels? I think it surprises us further to think that they're not just little inanimate things, but these jewels he's referring to are people. We go beyond that. It's even more surprising to think that the jewels that God is referring to here, that he has for himself, they're actually fallen and depraved sinners redeemed from among men. They are the jewels that he's talking about. This is grace. Those born into sin, those born, and you know what you're like on the inside of you without Christ, the fact that he would say to you, you are a jewel, you are precious treasure. This is grace. God does not call his angels his jewels, but he calls us his jewels. Isn't that amazing? So throughout scripture, saints are likened to wheat, to fish, to trees, even to stars, but here, the picture here is that of jewels. And why would God do that? What is it about jewels that we can relate to? What is it that we can see a bit into ourselves in this scripture here? First of all, jewels have value. This is a hard one, particularly for me to grasp. Oh, I have value? I don't know if you feel that too. Sometimes you just think, oh, what, you know, wretched man that I am, nothing but dust, you know, that God looks upon us and he sees we are people of great value. Deuteronomy 32 says, the Lord's portion is his people. Wow, we are God's portion. How valuable are we? Jesus likened his church to the man that sold all he had to buy that pearl of great price. We also know of the parable Jesus told of the man that knew there was a treasure in the field, and he went and bought that field to have that treasure. So we know that thousands of years, people have desired precious stones, haven't they? You look back throughout history, and in any culture, you will find that jewels are highly esteemed and sought after and prized. They are valuable things. Great prices have been paid to buy jewels in throughout history. Princes have, you know, bartered off their estates just to have some stone of great price. People work hard to get a jewel, don't they? There's work involved. There's great labor. People can work for months and months, heaps of people in the mines of Africa to come up with enough diamonds to fit in the palm of your hand. Yet more desirable still than jewels are his saints in the eyes of the Lord. I just love this quote. The value of a thing in the eyes of its possessor may be gauged by the price he was willing to pay for it. I'll say it again. The value of a thing in the eyes of its possessor may be gauged by the price he was willing to pay for it. Jesus shed his blood. He gave his life. He paid the biggest price there was to pay to purchase you. He didn't just pay 50 cents or $17.20. He paid the biggest price because you're valuable. Why else are we likened to jewels? Well, it's because of our divine creation. Think about a jewel. There is no scientist on earth who can recreate the exact properties of a jewel. They try. And in fact, they've come up with a diamond that's pretty much like a diamond. Because, you know, diamonds are the hardest substances on earth. And they can only come up with something that's about 75% as hard as an actual diamond is. They can't do it. They never will. Only God, in his wisdom and wonder, can create these things that we esteem, these jewels. It's like a chef's recipe, isn't it? He's not going to tell the secret. There's 11 secret herbs and spices. No, you're not knowing. Well, think of a Christian. Yeah, people might know, the world might look at us and think, oh, yeah, I know what a Christian is, but can they make one? No, they can't. No one can make a Christian except the Lord. The Lord alone can create a child of grace. It's as much a miracle as when Lazarus rose from the tomb as when you became a child of God. Spurgeon said, it is as great work of deity to create a believer as it is to create a world. It's just as great an amazing miracle that he spoke the earth into being as the day when you became his child. The basic reason why saints are precious to the heart of Jesus, because he regards and receives them as the Father's workmanship. You know, his prayer in John 17, you know, he prays for those who you have given me. He recognizes this is the workmanship of my Father. They're created by God. So jewels have value. They're created by God. They also vary because of their rarity. This is often what constitutes the value of a precious stone. You see these huge, big, you know, sapphires, whatever. There's not another one like it in the world. People are going to pay a lot of money to get it because there's not many around. If you could find diamonds in every man's garden, if you could just open up your fridge and there's a whole bunch of emeralds and rubies, or if you could, you know, go down the footpath and trip across, you know, over some amethysts or whatever, I don't know if God would liken this, liken us to jewels. They wouldn't be as valuable. You know, we hear about a remnant in Scripture. We hear often throughout the Old Testament that although many turned away, there was a remnant. We hear also that many are called and few are chosen. So let's have a look at a real diamond. No, that's a Neil diamond. There's a real diamond. I had to fit that in there somewhere. So have a look at it. Isn't it amazing? Oh, what beauty there is. And what people will pay for something so rare as such a huge diamond as that. The Bible says that we need to walk on the narrow path. There are actually, the Bible says, few who find it. But many walk on the broad road to destruction. So a genuine child of God is a rare thing. Isn't that scary to think about the millions and billions of people on this earth and only few find the narrow path? We're also likened to jewels because of our beauty. I don't know if you thought about that when you looked in the mirror this morning. So jewels are prized for their shine, aren't they? Let's have a look. Oh, isn't that beautiful? The person that cuts and polishes jewels is called a lapidary. There you go, there's a word for you. And some diamonds, I heard, are different from others. And some you want the colour, they do certain cuts to make the colour be retained within the diamond itself. Yet other ones, they do certain cuts to release the colour. I don't know how it works. But each one has a different beauty, and such a beauty. That's why people want them. So I was greeting people this morning. I just noticed some pearls or some diamonds or some glass or whatever you have in your settings of gold. But if you think about it, put a jewel, put a diamond, put that diamond in a dark room, and what happens? Does it shine? No, it doesn't. It's simply a reflector. The glory of that diamond is borrowed from the light. So with the people of God. A saint's loveliness, the beauty that's within us, is that which has been placed upon us, that which has been imputed to us. Have a listen to this in Isaiah 61. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. He has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robes of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments and a bride adorns herself with her jewels. So that salvation, that righteousness within us, just as if you put us in a dark room without Christ, I'm sorry, you wouldn't actually shine. It's when you are in his presence that you reflect who he is, his righteousness in you. Jesus says to his disciples, you're the light of the world. But how could he say that? Because he also said, I am the light of the world. We reflect him. And we've all met people who we know reflect Christ, don't we? We can see something about them. They've got a beauty and something that we're attracted to. Ephesians 5:8 says, For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Think also about jewels and gemstones. There's great variety, very rare, with them all. Have a look at some of these precious stones. You know, they're all valuable, yet they come in different sizes, colours, different kinds, different values. The same with the children of God. You know, you may shine an amethyst purple. Maybe you sparkle with the clarity of a diamond, or perhaps the green of an emerald, or the red of a ruby, or the blue of a sapphire. Aren't they beautiful? Wow. They're absolutely wonderful. We are all the workmanship of Christ, but we're all so different. What I love about God is the way he puts things into types in the Old Testament. You just think about the breastplate of Aaron. This was put on the high priest of Aaron's breastplate. 12 differing precious stones, each representing the 12 tribes of Israel. He didn't just get, you know, crummy little pebbles that all look the same. He chose different, beautiful jewels to place in the breastplate of Aaron. No two of them were alike, yet all of them were equally near to Aaron's heart. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Not two of them alike, but all of them were equally near to the heart of Aaron. I mean, just look at the disciples of Christ. Look at the difference between Thomas and John. You know, Thomas is like, nah, I'll see it when I believe it. And John was just, I'm sticking close to Jesus. Both precious, valuable disciples of Christ, but how different. Look at Peter and look at Paul, how different they were. Look at David, look at William, look at Rosa. We're all different, we're all priceless and valuable to him and all very close to his heart. Think about a jewel's durability. This is one of the few things on earth that can stand the test of time. You might have been handed an heirloom from hundreds of years ago that still looks pretty fantastic in its setting of gold. Diamonds are the hardest substance on earth. It can't be damaged by acid or burnt by fire. And they resemble the Christian who within us has a principle which is incorruptible, undefiled, and destined to endure forever. God wants us to be durable. You hear, you know, those that endure to the end shall be saved. It's God's plan, it's his heart for us to be those that will stand the test of time, those that do not faint and do not give up, those that will not rust and decay. God's heart for you is that you would shine and continue to shine, as David said, until the coming day. God wants us to have this quality. You know, the world has attempted to destroy God's people, haven't they? You look over through various cultures throughout the last 2,000 years that God's people, Christians, have been the target of Satan's plans. Yet has it succeeded? No, and never will. You know, a fake jewel will quickly crack or shatter. It easily succumbs to trials. But the genuine child of God endures to the end and will reign with Christ forever and ever. Do you want to reign with Christ forever and ever? Well, we were going to. He's put that within us. He's created us as something that will last for all eternity. I always found that amazing, holding one of my newborn daughters and just thinking, oh my goodness, we've just created something that's lasting forever. This is an eternal being. Oh my goodness. What an amazing gift God's given us to partake in that creativity. Think about of a jewel. You could spend an entire, I don't know, couple of sessions on this. This is amazing. Minerals formed in the earth's mantle can find their way to the surface over the spans of thousands of years due to huge geological effects such as tectonic plate upheaval. Didn't know you'd be hearing those words together today. Tectonic plate upheaval. Earthquakes and volcanoes can bring deep rocks to the surface. While with other jewels or gemstones, wind and water erosion gradually wear down surface soils to reveal the buried bedrock. So you can't just go and find a precious little gem on the ground, can you? It's not where it's come from. You look at a garden and you see beautiful flowers. You go to a park and there's great stately grand trees. But if you want to go find a gem, you've got to dig down. They're in the depths of the earth. Jewels are discovered in the mud and the mire of the earth. What a picture of us in our natural state. You know, think about Psalm 51. Behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Have a look at that picture there. That's not a pretty sight. Yet it's something that once in the hand of a craftsman is going to be something of great beauty. You just think about you before you knew Christ. Were you a pretty sight in the eyes of the Lord? You were there in the depths of the earth, yet he brought you out. Well, did God say in Isaiah 51, have a listen to this, and just with that picture specifically in mind. Look unto the rocks whence you are hewn, and the hole of the pit that you were dug from. Have a look at those, these unshaped diamonds. Psalm 40, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. God has a plan for every person. You know, at the moment, that person may be a shining jewel with him in heaven. At the moment, that person may be a jewel in the hands of the Lord being cut and polished. Or at the moment, that jewel may be still hidden in the earth, ready to be dug up. This is God's heart for every person. They are his jewels. Consider the cutting of a precious gem. You know, the gem's located, know where it is. We remove it from original position. It's now in the hands of the craftsman, but we're not finished yet. That's a long way till it's finished, isn't it? It needs to be cut into the proper shape and then many facets given to it. In its original state, it's rough. It's not symmetrical. So have a look at this. This is a lapidary here looking at what will become just an amazing piece of jewellery. And in olden days, they would look at a diamond, an uncut diamond, for weeks and even months to look at where are we going to make these cuts? where are we going to actually get this perfect shaped diamond from? Now what they do, they chuck it on a machine and this it gets spun around as this thing videos it and puts that image into a computer, and then they can then sort of look at it and rotate it around and fit the perfect shape where it need to go. It still takes a very long time. Here are what they do is they get the uncut diamond. First they mark it. Have you got the mark of the Lord upon you? Then what they do is they cleave it. This is where they get usually another diamond and they whack it against this thing and they have to cut it just in the right place. Takes great precision. The whole diamond could be shattered and cracked if they don't get this right. How glad we are that we're in the hands of the Lord. He's perfect. He's not going to miss. Then what they do, this is a bruting machine. So once they've cleaved it and cut it, they get the diamond and they put it into the basic shape of what they want to have it as. Do you know what they use? You can see it there. There's one diamond. What's it being affected by? What's it? Another diamond. I wonder if God has in store. That's why he places us in families. That's why he says don't forsake the gathering together. Because he has some shaping that he wants to do in you. That is an instrument that he uses to get you into the shape that he wants you to be. And what's the main instrument God uses? He uses the Word of God. It's living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of soul and spirit. So the Word of God, that sword, enters into our conscience. It searches the heart and it starts to cut out pride. It cuts out self-will. It cuts out self-righteousness. It's shaping us more and more into the image of Christ. When I heard about polishing a diamond, I just imagined someone with a cloth and sort of giving it, you know, getting all the smudges off. That's not how they polish diamonds. They have this disc that rotates around at very high speeds, and normally it's got a fine coating of what they call diamond dust on it. And they put it in this very precise machine just at the right angle they need, and this is just to make one of the many facets, one of the many edges as it puts on them. And it goes down and they have to check it and make sure it's all right. It takes much time and much precision to polish this diamond. This is called faceting, and they cut the many different angles to bring out that colour and that luster and that shine. It smooths down the rough edges. You've got a few rough edges. It polishes each facet so that it may every side of it can sparkle as much as it can. It's often a long and tedious process. And isn't that just like our life? God doesn't take us to glory the moment we become a child of God, because he's got some work to do on us. Have a think about the destiny of a gem. What's the purpose of it? The purpose of it is to shine. It's to be something of beauty. It's to be something that's usually not just to be on its own, but it's to be set in a setting of gold and worn. Wear his jewels. He wants to wear us. Have a look at these, you know, beautiful variety of jewels have been placed in these rings or bracelets or necklaces. There's crowns, there's, you know, it's to be worn, it's to be displayed. The goal of everything, all of this, is that we're placed among the crown jewels of the King. And isn't this a comforting thought? Let's remind ourselves when we're passing through hard times, when we're going through fiery trials, when we feel like we've got this disc going at a high speed running against us and we think is wearing us down, but really God is bringing out something in us. Sometimes we want an easy life. We don't want to be taken out from where we were and split in half and rubbed up against other diamonds and cut and polished. We want an easy life. But God knows it's not what we need. Smooth seas don't create skilled sailors, do they? Isaiah 62:3 says, "You will be a glorious crown in the Lord's hand and a royal diadem in the palm of your God." How amazing to think that he wants you to be a part of his crown. You started off as a rough stone, as an ugly pebble. Then you're cut You're being polished. And you're going to be an amazing jewel of the Lord's. So let's just recap. We have great the history, a gemstone, value in the eyes of the Lord. We're created by Him. No one can recreate a child of God. The Lord alone, that's what He can do. You are rare. There's no one like you. Such beauty within you that Christ has placed within you. Can you just hear the heart of God for you today? Can you see His plan for you? Can you hear the heart of the Father for His children? He just looks upon you and sees so many different children, yet so precious to Him. It's His plan that you will last to the end, that you endure forever with Christ. Think about where you've come from, your history, where He's taken you from. Be so grateful that He picked you out and you're in the hand of the Master Lapidary. Think about your destiny in Christ. So are you aware that you are one of Christ's jewels? My encouragement for you is to seek to shine for Him now, today. Let's pray. God, we just thank You that we are in Your hand. We thank You You've taken us, You've pulled us out of the pit, out of the depths of the earth, God, that You are at work in us, Lord God, to bring about Your light shining out. And why is that, Lord? Because there are many that need to know You, Lord God. And Lord, we just pray that that we would just feel at ease in Your hand as You polish us, Lord, as You allow things in our life to come our way and to rub up against us, to polish us and to maybe cut into us, Lord. We just want to be so compliant in Your hands. Lord, as we read Your word and as Karen shared with that mirror experience, we see things that need to be changed. Lord, let us just let that sword of the Spirit cut away what needs to. Let us be so compliant, Lord God, in the work that You would have to do in us, because it's going to be a long process, God, for You to polish us and make us how You want us to be. So we just rest in that, Lord God, and thank You, Lord God, as we see other people and we interact with them, Lord God, that You would help us to interact with them in a way that honors You, and to be, I guess, tolerant of the fact that they may not be as polished yet, but Lord, You're at work in them. And Lord, give us a heart to know what our purpose is in You, what You have us destined for. And we just thank You, Lord, for Your word and for what You've placed in nature to reveal such amazing spiritual things. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombol Christian Fellowship.
Enjoy your day.